Well, welcome everybody to Mercersburg Mennonite Church, our Christmas program. This is a unique service, a unique Sunday morning, as we are going to do our Christmas program in the morning instead of the evening. So first of all, I want to just thank everyone for being flexible and making this happen. I just think that all the effort that has gone into this, it's only fair that the children get to, and not everybody that's part of this, to actually celebrate Christ's birth in a Christmas program type event. Also, just look in your bulletins for the announcements and the prayer guide. I just want to open here with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the program. So let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer as we open. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day. And Lord, we thank you for your great love. And through that love, we are celebrating the birth of your son, Jesus. As we celebrate on Christmas Day, and now we celebrate this, what the program is about, the birth of Christ. But Lord, it's not just there. We also look forward to, as we remember and reflect, the death and resurrection that brings us into this right relationship with you. The great gift of salvation, eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ. The hope, the joy, the peace, the love that is experienced through you. Love that's greater than what we could fully understand. So, Lord, I just pray that you be with everyone that is involved in this program. Give them calmness of spirit, calmness of nerves, clarity of thought. Lord, as we celebrate your son, Jesus, through this Christmas program, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
You may stand.
Oh, come on, even.
earth. Whenever we see a nativity, we find ourselves with Mary and Joseph, with the shepherds and the wise men, bowing before the manger, overwhelmed by God's expression of love.
Luke 2:4-9. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the lodging place.
We place an angel in the nativity to remind us of the angels that visited Mary and Joseph about the upcoming birth of Jesus. And on that night of the birth, the angels appeared in the night sky to announce the arrival to the world. Luke 2:9-12. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, and this shall be a sign unto you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Thank you.
Jesus was born in a town called Bethlehem in Judea. King Herod ruled Judea at that time. After Jesus was born, some wise men came from Jerusalem, from a country in the east. When they arrived there, they asked people, "Where is the baby who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his special star when it first appeared in the sky, so now we have come here to worship him."
When King Herod heard what the wise men said, he was very upset. All the people in Jerusalem were afraid, too. Then Herod asked all the leaders of the priests and the teachers of God's law to meet with him. He asked them, "Where will God's Messiah be born?" They replied, "The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem, in Judea. This is what the prophet wrote about. People who live in Bethlehem, your town is a very important town in Judea. A person born in your town will become the leader of my people, Israel. He will lead my people like a shepherd leads his sheep."
Then Herod secretly told the wise men to come to meet with him. They told him the time that the star had appeared. Herod sent the men to Bethlehem. He said to them, "Go and look everywhere for this child, and when you find him, come back here and tell me where he is. Then I also will go and worship him." After the men had heard the king, they left to go to Bethlehem. They could see the same star that they had seen before. They were very happy when they saw the star. It moved along in front of them. Then it stopped above the place where the child was staying.
go up. I think we're ready.
I'm going to take you to the life of Joshua, a very simple, hardworking man. Joshua lived near the town of Mercersburg. Now let's get a sneak peek at Joshua's life. Joshua starts his day with a prayer.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day and everything you've done for my family. There's still one thing I'm going to ask you, and you already know what it is, and it is to meet you in person.
Joshua is now busy reading his newspaper.
Ava, where's my coffee? I'm still waiting.
Meet Joshua's wife, Ava. She's always concerned about Joshua and the two of their kids.
Here's your coffee, Joshua.
Thank you.
Emma, Jadelyn, time to get ready for school.
Good morning, Mom. Leaving for school now. Bye.
See you later, operator. What is in this stuff? That's my coffee.
Here's your lunchbox, Joshua.
Thank you. I'll see you this evening. Have a blessed day.
As evening came, after a long day, everyone gathered around the table. As usual, when Joshua prayed, he said, Jesus, please come to my house. I want to see you. Immediately, he heard the voice calling.
Joshua, Joshua, I'm coming to your house on Christmas.
Thank you, Lord.
Joshua was very happy. Immediately, he called his wife Ava and told her and the kids.
My wish is finally coming true. Jesus is coming to our house for Christmas. You need to start decorating and making food.
Daddy, Daddy, we had to make a big sign for Jesus and decorate the house with toys and lights.
Oh, and I'll clean and decorate my room for Jesus. I want him to see how cool my room is.
Those are both excellent ideas. Ava, you should start making some food.
Yes, Joshua. I'll make turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, sweet potatoes, green bean casserole, maybe corn, cranberry salad, pumpkin pie, and ice cream. He won't leave hungry.
Daddy, Daddy, we all have to wear our very best. I'm going to need your credit card. Thank you.
Let's invite your sister Grace over to celebrate Jesus' birthday with us. She'd be thrilled to see him in person.
That's a great idea. You should call her.
All preparations were ready, from beautiful house decorations to delicious food, and all of them were dressed in their finest clothing. Suddenly, the doorbell rings.
Who's there?
It's your sister, Grace. I'm so happy you invited me over for Christmas. Ava, I love your dress, and look at my two little angels. You look so fine.
Grace, come in. I'm so glad you could come and spend time with Christmas with us.
Waiting and waiting. It's evening, and Joshua and his family are still waiting. Then the doorbell rings.
I'll open it.
Hello. Emma opens the door and sees there's a poor old man standing at the door, all shivering cold.
Sir, I am so cold and hungry, please. Can I come warm up in your house a little bit, please?
Go away. We're waiting on a very important guest. We're waiting on a very important guest to celebrate with us. Now leave us alone.
Joshua shut the door, and the poor man walks back into the cold night.
Jesus, when are you going to come?
And for the second time, the doorbell rings.
That's Jesus at the door. I deserve to see him first.
Joshua opens the door and sees that there's a poor lady standing with a little baby.
Go. Again? This disappointment? What do you want?
Sir, my baby is very hungry. Do you have any milk?
I don't have no half and half milk. I don't have no chocolate milk. Now leave us alone and quiet down that baby.
The poor lady walks away crying, and Joshua comes inside.
Joshua, when is Jesus coming? It's getting late, the kids are getting tired, and the food's getting cold. I guess Jesus just won't come.
Ava, don't be so negative. Jesus always keeps his promises.
And for the third time, the bell rings. Joshua jumps out of his chair and runs to the door.
Who are you?
I'm traveling to New York and it's dark and cold. May I please stay at your house overnight? I'm begging you.
You listen up, stranger. Leave us alone.
Joshua shuts the door and walks back sadly.
Jesus, why won't you come?
Dad, why won't Jesus come?
Suddenly, Jesus calls.
Joshua, Joshua.
Who's there? Lord, where are you? We've been home all day waiting for you.
Joshua, I came to meet you.
What? Lord, when did you come?
Joshua, I came to your house 3 times and you did not help me.
Oh, Lord, please forgive me. If only I had known.
I came like a beggar, asking for clothing to wear, and you did not clothe me. I came like a woman with a baby, asking for milk, and you did not feed me. I came like a stranger, asking for a place to stay for a night, and you did not provide shelter.
Truly I tell you,
whatever you do for one of them, the least of your brothers and sisters of mine, you did for them. Amen.
Finally.
Most Christmas greenery reflects European traditions, but one colorful plant, which looks like a flaming star, the poinsettia, is a native of the American continent. It was named after Dr. Joel Robert Poinsett, an ambassador to Mexico who first introduced it to the United States in 1828. The people of Mexico and Central America call the brilliant tropical plant the flower of the holy night. The poinsettia is a many-pointed star that has become a symbol of the Star of Bethlehem, which led the wise men to Jesus.
Our poinsettias this morning for the service were placed in memory of loved ones who have passed before us, in honor of the life they lived and the legacy they leave behind. Poinsettias were placed in memory of Roger Martin by Dave and Glenda Possinger and family, Lloyd Gingrich by the Gingrich family, Bob and Betty Myers and Robert and Dorothy Kyler by Tim and Barb Kyler and family, Todd Heston and Quentin Riley Martin by Dustin, myself, and our family, Don Helfrich, also by Dustin and myself and our family, in memory of John Waddle, by Connie Waddle and family. John and Gladys Myers, by Nelson and Darlene Myers. Darlene's parents, Roy and Verna, by Nelson and Darlene Myers. Martha Myers, by Chuck and Gina Miller. And June Lehman, by Clifford Lehman. Ida Ravesloot, by Sarah Eshelman and family. And Richard Hunsecker by Daryl and Rhonda Hunsecker.
The striking and most universal feature of Christmas is the evergreen. Among the ancient Romans, evergreens were emblems of peace, joy, and victory. The early Christians placed them in their windows to indicate that Christ had entered the home. Holly and ivy, along with pine and fir, are called evergreens because they never change color. They are evergreen, ever alive, even in the midst of winter. They symbolize the unchanging nature of our God, and they remind us of the everlasting life that is ours through Christ Jesus.
The wreath, made of evergreens, is a never-ending circle which reminds us of the endless love of God. We hang our wreaths on the door of the church and homes as a welcoming reminder of the joy and abundant life we find through Christ. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The ringing of the bell has been used in churches all over the world as a call to worship. Bells also signify the beginning or the end, and for centuries have been rung to announce the arrival of the Christmas season. Bells symbolize the announcement of the birth of Christ. When the angels in heaven praised God and declared, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Luke 2:14.
We hang candy canes on our tree as a reminder of God's love. The red is a reminder that God loved us enough to send his only Son to suffer on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. The white of the candy cane represents the purity and that Jesus' sufferings on the cross have cleansed us from sin. The shape of the candy cane is that of the letter J, or like a staff used for caring for the sheep, as a reminder to us that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. John 10:14-15. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep.
The Christmas star symbolizes the Star of Bethlehem, which guided the wise men to Jesus. We place our star on the top of our tree as a heavenly sign of prophecy and a symbol of shining hope. Matthew 2, 9 to 10. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy.
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have dawned, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star.
From the beginning of the Christmas celebration, gift giving has been a part of the season. The wise men gave their treasures, the shepherds gave of themselves. Both express the gift of God in giving Christ as the Savior of the world. This morning, we place three gifts under our tree to represent the gold, frankincense, and myrrh gifted to Jesus by the wise men.
Gold would have been an invaluable gift. Mary and Joseph would soon have the expense of traveling to Egypt and to avoid the wrath of Herod. Symbolically, gold is a typical gift for kings because it symbolizes kingship and royalty, a fitting gift for the King of Kings.
the gift of frankincense. Frankincense came from the sweet tree resin and was used in priesthood ordinances, in burnt offerings, and in oil for anointing priests. Thus, it can symbolically represent the Lord's priesthood and his role as the Lamb of God to be sacrificed on our behalf.
Myrrh is bitter oil that comes from tree resin. It is not economically valuable, but practically, because of its medicinal uses. In the New Testament, the embalming and burial process used myrrh because of its preservative qualities. Myrrh's medicinal uses could symbolize Christ's role as the great physician, and its uses in burials could signify the bitter cup he would drink when he suffered for our sins.
Matthew 2:11. They entered the house, and they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down, and they worshipped him. And then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Angels did say, was this
Christmas trees and homes are adorned with lights as a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world.
Eventually. At this time? All right, third time's a charm. So at this time, we're going to move forward with our candle lighting part of the service. And I'm going to start in a fairly familiar scripture. And I say familiar because this is what we started with last year. And that's in the Gospel of John. So turn with me to John chapter 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. We read about this idea of light and darkness. What was this really about? Jesus goes on to explain that in greater detail in chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." So the Word, Jesus, is the light to life. When we talk about this light to life, we can look at it in a couple different ways, both true. He's the light to life eternal, into eternal glory with Him, for those that believe in what we're celebrating here today about the birth of Jesus. But even more importantly than that, His death on the cross, His resurrection, not for Himself, but for us. All of us who are sinners, who fall short of the glory of God. Jesus is the light to life eternal with Him. Meanwhile, we're here on earth. Jesus is the light for the life that we live here today. When we talk about the good things of this world, it comes from Him. The light away from darkness, which is sin. The light for life, fulfilled. The light to the fruit of the Spirit, things like joy, peace, patience, kindness. All that is good is the light that Jesus is for all of us. So as we continue and as we go forth and spread this light, I want us to consider a couple different things. One is what this light symbolizes that you soon will hold, whether it be with a wax candle, whether it be through a candle for the children. I want you to think about the symbolism of what this light means to us, what you hold, the light of Jesus in our lives. But I want you to think about it as you then pass the light along, because Steve and I will start at the beginning of each pew, and you can pass it along till you get to the end. I want you to consider what it means to be passing that light, not to consume it for yourself, but to spread it to others, whether it be a family member, whether it be a neighbor, friend, acquaintance, someone you may not even know. The beauty of this service being after Christmas, I think, points to understanding that this isn't just for the Christmas season. It's not just for New Year's to come. It can be a resolution, but this is something that we need to consider and go forth each day moving forward. What does it look like to let the light of Jesus shine out from us and to then not just consume it for ourselves, but to pass it to those around us? Steve, if you will come up with me as we light the candle and worship team lead us in song.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill.
With glowing hearts, by its radiant light we stand.
As we see the light shine forth, let us take this light into 2025. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus, who is the light of the world. And Lord, now I just pray that as we bring this service to conclusion, Lord, that we take forth going into the new year to be the light of the world. And Lord, I pray that as we send some this week, as we think of Hope traveling to be with the Puckets, Lord, I pray for your hand of protection upon her as she travels. And for the Work Team Partners team, Lord, as they travel, as we send forth these light, let us also remind ourselves and be reminded that we too are called to be the light, to allow your Son, Jesus, to shine through our lives, through our words and actions. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's blow the candles out. Just one last. My parents come get their children. Okay. First, I want to just say a big thank you to everybody who was involved. And also, I want to thank Jerry, who oversaw that, the program. And I just really appreciate everything she did. I'd love to name everybody else, but I'll forget somebody. So we'll name Jerry, who oversaw it, and everybody else. With that, parents, if you could come and get your children, we'd appreciate that. And they would appreciate it. They're hungry, I think. And the candles are to be taken back and just take them apart. And set them in the box there. Thank you.